will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another wonderful podcast of Tough Things First. We are so delighted to have with us as our guest today, John Butler, who is an expert in healthcare insurance. And he's going to tell us how healthcare currently insurance sucks. So, John, let's talk about your background. Just give our audience a little idea who you are and just what you're all about.
Yeah, thanks, Ray. I grew up in Bloomington, Minnesota here. I'm 63 years old. I tell people a little short story about how I started in my working career. I had a job selling pop and popcorn at Mets Stadium, which is the old Twins and Vikings stadium. And they eventually tore that thing down to pull in this horrible thing called Mall of America. It was quite a fight way back when that people thought it wasn't going to be a good thing. But anyway, that's what I started in my career as 15, 16 years old, just working part-time over at the stadium. Just went to high school, college. When I came back from college, just the working guy for about 7, 8 years. And I got into the financial industry and insurance industry. And fast forward to 1996, I bought my first block of business in the employee benefits area, which included healthcare or health insurance, of course. And about 7 years ago, I started researching specifically the healthcare market for businesses, because that's the big elephant in the room, and found out that there's a lot of things going on across America that are incredible things. And I couldn't take credit for it. I just happened to discover these people all across the country that are doing things in a different way, thinking outside the box, and using the power of technology to bring forward health insurance and healthcare solutions for businesses, large and small.
I ran Micrel for 37 years, and I know that my healthcare insurance costs were about half of my benefit costs for my employees. So it was always a big cost, but I never really understood, they were taking advantage of us, and that this is really a problem that most companies, that at least that are the size of our company, which was, we had 750 to 1,000 employees working for us at any time, at given time, this has been a big issue, health insurance, and I know that they're trying to find ways of improving that and lowering the cost. But why don't you tell us kind of what should we be knowing as a company with 500 or more employees about the health insurance industry?
Well, the first thing is there's solutions that exist that are really easy to understand. There's something called coalition plans that are taking a company from 500 to 1,000 employees and put them in a group of collective employers around the country that makes the population 10 to 20,000 instead of just 500 to 1,000. And everybody kind of understands the law of large numbers. The larger the numbers are, the more you can manage the risk. So employers can join these coalition plans, but it's not everybody is eligible to join. You don't want to get into a coalition plan with a dirty pool where everybody's, managing their claims willy-nilly. The real cost drivers within health insurance and health care is basically four things: primary care, pharmacy, outpatient surgery, and hospitalizations. And the superheroes around the country are actually controlling those cost drivers, Ray. So the average cost for a business around the country right now, according to SHRM, is $15,000 per employee per year and growing. And so these consultants and healthcare vendors around the country are bringing that cost down already and have under 10,000 per employee per year rather than 15,000. So you can do the math on whatever size company you are. If you're going to save about $3,000 to $5,000 per employee per year and give them better healthcare, that's something that's worth looking into.
You wrote a book recently called How Healthcare Sucks.
Health insurance sucks.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. They both do, Ray. That's okay.
Well, some might agree that healthcare sucks too.
Yeah.
Some of the VA people, veterans, they tell you that their healthcare has been sucked. Mm-hmm. So health insurance is sucked. So tell us again, what can we do? What should my listeners do that run companies that are, 500 to 1,000 employees? What should they be looking for? What can they do?
Well, they should be looking for a unique strategy on their RFPs. What I found is even larger companies of 10,000 employees, we got a local company of 10,000 employees, they went to RFP a couple of years ago. And there's 36,000 brokerage firms around the United States.
What's RFP? What does that say?
A request for proposal. It's kind of there's too many acronyms in this business, right? ERISA and COBRA, and RFP happens to be something that a lot of companies understand. They check their products and services with the marketplace periodically. But when you go out for proposals with your healthcare, you just pick employee benefit brokerage firms that you hope have some solutions for you. So what we've done within our practice is we put these people on the RFP that have reduced costs dramatically. Not only the cost of the health insurance cost or health care cost for the employer, but they also, as soon as they get that health care cost under control, they reduce the cost to the employee. So they reduce their premiums and pass that on.
How do they do that? How does the company reduce its costs?
Well, you look at, it's a relatively easy process. You have a way of determining what your per employee per year cost is, which is basically taking your monthly invoice, adding what the employees contribute each month as well, multiply that times 12, and you have the per employee per year cost. If that's, approaching 15,000 per employee per year, and these healthcare experts that I'm connected to average somewhere is around 8,500 to 9,000, then you have the ability to make an impact. So, we connect them to the best of the best around the country, and it doesn't really matter where you are. These solutions, reducing down the cost of healthcare, those cost drivers can happen very easily by just plugging in these solution partners.
You were talking earlier to me about digital healthcare. Why don't you explain to my audience what digital healthcare is?
Yeah, digital healthcare is a topic. Everybody understands how technology has advanced every single other element of the marketplace here. I mean, it's incredible. So, but digital healthcare takes the technology tools, like for instance, the Edison Healthcare. You can take your health plan design, you can connect right to Edison Healthcare through your program and direct your employees digitally. So if I was on your plan, Ray, and all of a sudden I needed a transplant done, how do I know where to go? Well, Edison Healthcare has a team of people at Mayo Clinic right here in Minnesota that are the best at it in the country. So you can have me flown from wherever to Mayo Clinic, have the procedure done, flown back home, and it'll be less cost than what you normally would pay in your local community for that transplant. So digitally, that's the key thing that is driving everything. And like I said before, in 2019, more money went into digital healthcare than the previous 3 years combined. And the public just does not know about this, right? They don't know how they can connect all these wonderful things together to form a great health plan at an employer size.
So you're saying digital healthcare is how the company saves money because you're not using the local healthcare centers to perform these various medical procedures. You're flying them all over the place to get their cost down.
Yeah, and that's just one way of doing it. The other way of connecting to one of the other cost drivers is the pharmacy benefit managers. These are called PBMs. Normally, when you work with big insurance companies, they connect you to their pharmacy benefit manager, which is, there's a lot of revenue streams that are getting swallowed up, and there are a lot of waste and fraud within that system, Ray. So digital health will connect you to a fiduciary responsible pharmacy benefit manager rather than one of the, there's actually three of them, Ray, that control almost 80% of the United States marketplace right now. And you wouldn't know if you have one of these big three within your plan, unless you went to a consultant and have them analyze your program. But that, just by switching the pharmacy benefit manager, will reduce down the costs of that particular area of pharmacy by 40 to 70%, just by making that one little switch of customizing your plan.
Is there any hope for companies that are smaller, that have 10, 12, 15 employees?
That's a great question, Ray. I mean, that there's different solutions, as I see it in the marketplace right now, for different size companies. When I mentioned Edison Healthcare, you know, you have to be a company of 750 or more just to get it, right? But the solution that I talk about in the book, there's something I call a cafeteria plan. That's only my terminology, but people understand cafeterias as far as restaurants. And it works like this. Your boss gives you so much money to go to lunch. You go to the cafeteria and you buy what you want in the marketplace rather than what your boss is giving you for lunch. Okay. And you pick what you want. You know, they may give you so much a month. And so there was a law passed in June of 2019 that went into effect January 1st of 2020 that allows employers to just give tax-free money to their employers and let their employees customize their own plans. So, you know, if you think about it in real general basic terms, I might want a plan that is a high deductible because I never go in, okay? There's another person that might want a lower deductible. They have kids and they have family members and they can choose that themselves. You know, my network might be different than your network. All these things can be customized, and all of the vendors, believe it or not, in the marketplace in this short amount of time, through the help of technology, can connect everybody to their own health plan and get their companies, the company down at that size, get them out of the business of healthcare. Because I tell a little story in the book, or ask a little question. If your boss came to you and said, we got a great car insurance plan at our company, you know, I'm able to deduct some of it and everything else, so jump on our car insurance plan. And then you find out that one or two people had DUIs last year, cracked up their cars, and your premiums went up 30 to 40%. Now, wouldn't you come back to your boss and say, you know, are you thinking right on this? I mean, I'm fine. And why is my premiums go up because John and Jim had DUIs last year? And that's the way healthcare has run for years, Ray. It just, they're in the business of healthcare management or risk management. And down at that size, it's a simple solution to just break them away from this and allow their employees to do, you know, customize their own plan. It only happens once a year, Ray. You know, it's not that difficult with today's technology to go onto a screen and say, well, here's different plans that fit your network, that fit your deductible. Click this, click that, sign up. Your boss is giving you $500 a month to do it. Plug in the right one that fits you. It's an old economic principle called the invisible hand. I don't know if you know Adam Smith from way back when, but it's basically let the marketplace, you know, individually let them choose, and it makes a huge difference.
So you're saying that you're, rather than have a one health insurance program for all the employees, is to give them a certain amount of money and let them go out and negotiate their own plan. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, with the help of the vendors, you know, that are in the business. And there's health insurance vendors around the country that, you know, some focus on, you know, employee sizes of 2 to 50, others focus on 50 to 500. You can do it at any size now that that law has passed. All the penalties for both employees, or individuals don't pay any penalties anymore for not having health care. They wipe that out. But most companies don't realize that there are ways to avoid the employer penalties now that passed way back in January 1st of 2020. And so, you know, the reins are off. And as far as I'm concerned, Secretary, it's out of the gate.
Well, you know, I know that you can work with groups of people and share their deductible And so as a group, you can go in and leverage their deductible to get your medical costs down. I know there's that group. I don't know what it's called. I forgot the name of it now, but there's a group that you can go in and basically use their deductible to.
You know, actually, Ray, that's strange that you said that, because this is not talked about very often. In fact, the solutions that are in my book are not offered primarily by brokerage firms because they lose the business or they don't know about these solutions. It's one or the other, or maybe even both. But there's something called professional employer organizations, which are popular for companies of about 10 to about 150 in size. And this is basically where it's called a PEO, a professional employer organization, where if I was a PEO, what I do is I put together a flowering array of benefits. So health, dental, life, disability, 401k. I even, you know, manage your payroll for you and all kinds of things. So basically I put together a Fortune 500 of benefits. And if you wanted to buy into my PEO, you'd pay so much per employee per year. And you can, and you know, your little company of 20 employees, you can look pretty strong in the marketplace. But that's basically, I think what you described there, Ray, was, you know, you jump onto their plan, you know, what their deductibles are, their choices are. And some PEOs now are allowing you to customize your own healthcare plan, which is kind of amazing too.
To wrap this up, John, how can they get your book? I mean, who's your book targeted to? Is it the CEO level or the HR level? Who should be getting your book?
Well, I think it's targeted to all of the above, but primarily the C-suites, Ray, because they have to make the tough financial decisions. You know, HR doesn't really like to do an RFP or request for proposal. It normally takes about, you know, 4 to 6 months. You know, we offer it in 60 days. But you can find us at healthinsurance.co to buy the book, or you can email us at info@jb-benefits.com, either way. And it's on Amazon. You can actually search on Amazon or Barnes & Noble is probably quicker. Just look up books, Health Insurance Sucks, and it'll pop right up. It's right there.
Well, I appreciate you taking your time today to talk to our audience about health insurance, because I tell it, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, that was half of my costs for my employees' benefit costs was the insurance. This is really good info for our audience. So all of you out there who are C-suites and want to lower your cost of your insurance for your medical insurance for your employees, you know, pick up John's book, Health Insurance Sucks. And you can find it, as he said, at Barnes & Noble or Amazon and any number of places. So thanks again, John. Appreciate you taking your time today to give us a little better education on health insurance, because I do know the health costs are not going to come down unless we do something individually to bring them down. Okay, this ends another great podcast of Tough Things First. We invite you to pick up our book, Tough Things First, Barnes & Noble, or at Amazon or any of your other book retailers. Also, my new book, Zen of Zen 2. You know, of course, there's Zen of Zen 1 out there you can still get. Zen of Zen 2 is just a continuation of those wonderful philosophical ideas that we give you every day. And hopefully you'll join us again. Tough Things First podcast. So again, thank you, John, for joining us, and look forward to seeing how well your book does.
Thank you, Ray. It's great meeting you, and it was nice learning about you a little bit online. You got quite a storied career.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.